Daryl?
Holy.
Today's the day, baby.
For what? What's happening today?
Lots going on out there in the real estate world.
Are you busy?
I'm swamped right now.
Swamped.
I don't want to say I'm too busy because when you're in real estate, you don't want to tell people you're too busy because then the clients are like, oh, you're too busy for me, so I'm going to go somewhere else.
You
got to like, I'm busy, but I'm not that busy.
Frank, I heard on his show, he's like so busy. I got a few
open slots still.
Yeah, good.
You know what I mean? But no, sure. I'm swamped. It's like every day it's just like get up and go. And but the good thing right now is like I'm getting everything done. Like no, I'm not forgetting about everybody. Everyone feels like they're my only client.
So sustainable
I'm
levels.
Proud about myself. Yeah.
Sustainable levels.
I'm swamped.
TK, I keep saying that like I really miss the kind of pandemic pace. I like that. It was slower. Now I feel
you
like
just stayed at home all day.
But although I made more money in the pandemic than like ever, but like I felt like I was like now I'm working like jam packed all day, all night. I don't sleep. It's like, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah.
But I guess we built up a lot of stuff over that pandemic, right? Got a lot of steam going. Got a lot of things on the go, TK.
I think that just the world was on hold and nobody was doing anything. And now people are back to doing stuff again. I mean, inflation's up, Daryl. People are spending that money.
Inflation's not up. Of course, inflation's up.
Housing prices is up.
And oil. It's
mostly
oil is
rent
down.
And cost of housing.
Yeah. Cost of housing and food is what I meant to say. Food is like through the goddamn roof. It's insanity.
Can't even get myself a cheeseburger here for a decent price anymore, you know?
It
is. How are the restaurants surviving? Think about a restaurant where you've been making the same thing. You're priding yourself because you still got that $4.99 combo that comes with drink and fries. And like, how are you?
30 years, you're done.
What? How are you paying for that still?
Because now it's like you get like half a piece of bacon and half an egg, right? And half a piece of toast for $4.99.
Eventually, listen, restaurant owners, print a new menu. No one's going to notice.
No, but
nobody's going to notice an extra dollar on
their
meal.
People will notice when their doors are locked. That's what's going to happen.
That's when we're going to notice. When we show up for our Sunday morning breakfast and the doors are locked, where am I supposed to go then? Tim Hortons?
I don't think that's what's going to happen. People aren't going to go anymore because they're fed up paying that high price or they don't have the income to dispose of to pay for this horrible bacon and eggs now or hamburger or whatever the hell. Like, really, when was the last time you went out for anything and was like, that was perfect? Like, that was so good. That was great.
Well, I went upstairs.
Yeah,
last
exactly.
Night for a great meal.
Right. And, it was cheap.
It was taco. Whatever day it was of the week.
Taco Thursday.
We had tacos this week. Yeah.
Listen, but that's where you get a good meal now, right?
That's the best meal. Yeah.
That's the best meal. These other ones are just garbage now that are overpriced. But
hold on. Inflation, you're like, no big deal.
No, I'm not like, no big deal. I'm like,
but that's what it sounds like.
Lie.
You shrugged it off like it was no
point
big deal.
One, like, above the previous month. Like, is that up?
I think it was 2 points, but it's 0.3% higher than expectations. So,
whoa, like these people that expected it, like know what the fuck to expect, right?
I'm just
like,
saying that it's
this
higher.
This whole thing is a bloody circus show.
It's perception.
Right. And they don't want you to think that it's running away. So it's like, yeah, obviously everybody's talking about how it's up. Like it's stupid that it's down. So we'll give you a little up. There you go. Little up.
I don't think that's how it works. But anyways, no, I'm pretty sure that they use math.
They don't use math. There's no math involved.
I'm pretty sure they use math.
There's no math involved.
Regardless, since neither one of us is privy to those calculations and those announcements, we'll just have to move on.
Hold on. Tiff's calling me right now. He wants to know what I think.
Okay, sure. Tell him I say hi. I'll be at the barbecue on Sunday.
If they were listening to this show, they would do a hell of a better job. TK, this is the truth. Now, I guess it depends on what you want the outcome of the job to be, but I guess that's for a whole other show, right?
Well, no, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. So right now,
what the hell is the goal?
Right now, who wants rates to go down?
Me.
Who, like in general?
Me. People that are about to renew soon.
Okay.
A lot of us.
Anybody, right, who needs to get a mortgage anytime soon.
Anytime soon.
Wants
or
rates
a loan
to go down.
Or any money.
Who are the people who want rates to go up?
Hmm. That's a great question, TK. There's actually a lot of fucking people who don't
plan on getting any mortgages anytime soon.
You think? Because they have all the cash that they're saying? Like, I'm waiting here. I've been waiting for this forever.
If they got that dry powder waiting to throw it into the market at the end of the day, they're not worried about interest rates because they've got cash. But if they are talking about it,
too.
If they're talking about it, that they want interest rates to go up, really, think about it. If nobody right now who's planning on getting a mortgage is going to say, man, I hope I have to pay more every month. Who the hell is going to say that? Nobody.
I'm just sitting here going, I hope I have to pay less than I was hoping I had to pay last month, right?
Yeah.
I just want it to come down so that...
So
it's a horrible looking number, TK.
But this is the thing. This is the interesting part of, you know, these announcements. So before, when the market was going up, you and I had a lot of discussions about this because we would say, we had a few guests, you know, investors who obviously have got their own self-interest where the market goes up, they make a ton of money. That's what they want. Mm-hmm. But we were basically saying, like, is this a problem? Is the market going up a problem? And if you talk to a bunch of people heavily invested in the market, they're all going to say, what problem? What are you talking about? The prices are going up. What's wrong with that? But if you talk to a bunch of people who aren't in the market and they're going, oh, the market's going up, I can't believe it, I'm not in, and da-da-da-da, my son needs to get in, my brother, all these types of perspectives, they want the market to stop and they want it to come back down. So really, at the end of the day, what is the right answer? What is the answer that means that we all get to have a better life? Because you can look at both sides of the equation and come up with different scenarios, right? Because if the market goes back down, that's carnage.
It's a double-edged sword.
The amount of people who will lose everything, their life would fall apart, marriages, their businesses, all that kind of stuff, if rates continue to go up and we go into that really doomsday event type of situation, that's a bad scenario. But if rates don't go up and inflation gets out of hand, there's also a bad scenario.
Bad.
If the market continues to go up and that people can't buy and we go into a renter's economy and it's like Francisco and we just have like three people who own all the property in Toronto, that's bad.
There, but yeah, it's not good. There's no good outcome.
We don't have the answers on the show. I've come to that conclusion.
I keep trying to tell you, TK, I have the answers.
We don't have the answers here.
Nobody listens.
Tune into the Clips channel. If you're not interested in hearing this banter, we have a perfectly suitable channel for you to check out. It's called the Canadian Real Estate Show Clips. Go there, like, comment, subscribe. And you don't have to hear all this nonsense. And you'll just get the nice bite-sized clips about all the good stuff that we and our guests talk about every single week. And you'll get it in like micro doses, you know, like Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you know.
Micro dosing the Canadian real estate show. Look at this, right? TK. That's interesting.
Little bite-sized pieces, right?
Bite-sized
so check that
pieces.
Out. If you want to get really into, like, if you want to dive deep into some really heavy stuff, check out Daryl on Twitter. The Frankfurt Report,
if you want to get nutty. And if you want to do me a favor, TK, you too. Sure. Actually, you're not doing me a favor. You're doing yourself a favor. My father-in-law is closing his furniture store, TK. It's called Shelter. It's on Caledonia, I think 885 Caledonia. Go check it out. They're having a blowout closing retirement sale.
I am going
sale.
This weekend, eh?
Go.
I haven't told you that yet. I'm meeting this lady today at a property, and we have to go buy furniture. And so I told her about the store, and we're going to go there this weekend.
Yeah, tell him.
Is it open all weekend?
Yeah, for sure. Tell him Daryl sent you.
Buddy, I'm going to like show them pictures of you to see if I
show
how big of a discount I can get.
But everybody, tell them Daryl sent you and go in there, and maybe they'll give you a little bit of an extra discount. Who knows? But
they're already
everything
discounting the
has
hell out of
to
stuff.
Go, baby. And it is discounted for sure. We just took a friend of ours there, and my wife was helping him pick some furniture and picked a whole bloody house worth of furniture. And when she gave him the price, he was like, are you serious? I figured at least triple that. So believe me, like, they are deeply discounted. Check it out.
So,
all right.
This is one of those going out of business sales,
He did that already at the beginning of the pandemic.
Yeah.
And it went so well, he decided to keep it open.
Buy more stuff.
Things are different these days. And unfortunately, the store must be closed. So anyways, TK, back to real estate. Okay. And I don't know what we were talking about, but I know
what
I want to
talk about. Inflation.
We're talking about inflation going up.
And does that mean that the rates are going to change?
Well, or does that mean the rates are going to change? So, okay. couple of things here. So I want to talk about like the results of the environment that we have been used to for most of our lives, right? This low rate environment and kind of some of the repercussions of that. Okay. But also like, yeah, what are rates going to do and what happens with rates? Can we, like, I put a tweet out that got a lot of attention saying like, can we absorb a quarter point raise? And like, yeah, fuck yeah, we can. I mean, look what just happened. What do we have? 450 bips in 9 months. And mm-hmm. look what's going on around here. Like
quarter point, who's going to do anything about a quarter point?
Quarter point is like a pause, right?
Quarter point's like a,
you should make a t-shirt of that.
TK. Rounding error.
Quarter point equals pause. Yeah. No, but seriously, like nobody, they were going to shrug that off. So at what point is it like that the interest rates make a difference? Like, sounds like another hammer has
first
to come
of all,
down,
let's,
right?
Stop. No, let's stop right now. You're talking about sentiment.
Well, what,
let's talk
what
about,
knocks
no,
sentiment
you're talking
down.
About sentiment. What I would like to make a point of is the facts. The rates have already done their damage. If you think that there's not people right now who haven't been paying their mortgage for a few months already mm-hmm. and who can't afford to renew in 60 days or who are like maxed out on every one of their line of credits, I mean, you're not in the know, because I'm dealing with those people right yeah. now. The rates that are the rate that it's already at, the fixed rate that they need to renew at, or the line of credit that they have to pay, or the private mortgage that they have to get, and the rates that are available right now is already enough to crumble so many different families out there right now.
Really?
It's sad. Yeah. There's a ton of, so rates don't need to go up in order to affect the people that are affected by rates. Any mm-hmm. additional rate hikes aren't going to change anything for anybody else who wasn't already affected. Even a 1 point doesn't matter.
Right.
The people who are affected are crushed already. They're not going to recover. The market might bail them out. I just was told about another power sale yesterday. Quick story. I mean, I had a lady on the market in 2021, maybe 2022, something like that. Got her fantastic offer. It's a development land, you know, had somebody who whatever wanted to buy it, do some development on it. Long story short, she said to me, it's not enough money. And I told her, this is what it is. So she said, well, I don't want to sell at that price, but I have someone who's going to refinance me to get me out of trouble. And I said, good for you. Release her from the contract. Move on with life. I hope everything works out for you. She called me later on to say, hey, that guy screwed me over and I never got the financing. Da, 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 da. Can you get me that offer back? And this was like summer 2022. And I was like, I got you that in like peak times. Like it was like, no, I'm like, there's just, it just doesn't exist anymore, you know? Right. And the amount of money that
so
she owes
dumb.
On the property is more now
than it's worth.
It was razor thin when I got her that offer. Now, like, she's underwater. So long story short, the agent who currently has the listing called me and said, hey, what's going on? I know him. So he's like, what happened before? So I gave him the story and I asked him what was going on. And basically the end result is it's under power sale already. And that, you know, he's, you know, going to go in whatever direction he decides, but it's the reality for many people, you know,
sure.
You can't borrow your way out of every situation. At one point, you know, maybe that was the case.
Well,
but
thank God prices are going up now though, because I mean, it could be way worse if you're in a power sale situation that's got so much inventory and there's still like floor discovery going on all over the place right now, mm-hmm. at least. You know, you put a power sale and you get multiple offers right away and the bleeding stops. No, yeah. Is that not what's
look,
happening?
I look,
haven't
the market's
seen any
funny,
crazy
you know,
deals.
The market's funny. I got like Durham region. I sold this property this week.
Fucking Durham.
I guess I can give you the story. Durham. Oh, okay.
Durham.
So it's a brand new build. The neighbor sold for like, the neighbor was for sale when we listed, but they sold as soon as we listed for like a price that made sense to me. And we're listed way above that. And I told the client and I said, I think that we're pricing high, but I know that she paid for these upgrades. And so therefore, based on what she paid for compared to what the neighbor, it made sense
for
what we were doing. But I was like, this doesn't make sense that anybody would pay you this price. But if anybody can do it, it's me. So I'm joking. So anyways, we list the property. The very first day we get an offer.
What?
I get another few offers. I say, okay, let's slow things down. Let's make sure we have enough exposure. Let's give it till the fall after the weekend. Try to see what we can do. And in the end, she got $45,000 more than her price.
Was her price like you thought it was? Oh, high. Holy shit.
She got 45 grand more than she
than the high price
wanted.
That's what I'm saying.
I was dead wrong.
Yeah, but you were good wrong at least.
I'm just saying, I'm happy for her, so it's not bad. But I was 100% like, how did that happen?
Lucky you still got the listing and was wrong.
Well, I explained to her, like, you know, that we're gonna do everything we can, and that it's not, you know, set expectations.
So was there a TK special in there, or was it just market?
$45,000. It was by far the biggest TK special. And I should have my like face imprinted on that garage door for another 10 years because of what I had the performance I put on there. But anyways, I'm not trying to brag. I'm just saying that's what happened. Hmm. But regardless, that's the market conditions. There's things out there right now that don't make any sense. And then I'm talking to people who are like, we're not getting any showings. We're not getting any activity. We have no listings.
Why? What's the difference?
It's got to be price.
It's got to be price.
Yeah, it's got to be price. Sure, and every market's different. Price. You got some places people are looking for one product and there's a lineup of those people looking for that product. In other areas, they're like, you know what? That place is not so great. And so we've got this equalization right now from the past. So I was doing some work in East York last night and we were looking at comps and different things. And a busy street has, you know, it used to be the busy street, like was a big stigma, or you know, there was a huge difference in price between something on a quiet, nice street and the busy street. But during the pandemic, it evened out. The prices weren't so far apart because housing was scarce. And someone said, "So what if I got to live on a bus route? I got the bus stop right outside my house. How convenient!" Yeah, until you're trying to sleep at night and all you can hear is cars driving by and homeless people that sleeping on your front lawn.
Bus stopping there, going
right. Hey, so anyway, as long story short is we looked at the comps and it was a good 15% or something like that lower, this house that sold on a busy street. It was on Donlands because of the fact that it was on a busy road. So things like that are starting to become more evident, is that people are really being careful. Newer homes, premium. Cost of construction, buyers are going, I know how much this will cost to build today and prices are high. 20-year-old home, I know how much that cost back then to build, and now I got to renovate it, and I know renovation costs. I don't want to pay for that house that needs to be renovated. I want to, you know, find one that already is. So there's a lot of little things like that that are coming to be more clear now, and so it just takes more navigation experience.
So speaking of experience, can I segue? I don't know if it was a good segue, but we're going to move on to...
It's a horrible segue.
I think it was a horrible segue. Talking about me. I wish I had it up
going
here.
Into you. It's,
no, it's not going to be about me, TK. It's going to be more about you, actually. Because I'm pretty sure... No, I'm kidding. I'm not going to accuse you of this. Because I'm sure you haven't done this ever. Because you would never stoop as low as these two agents in Quebec. The first... two agents ever to have put fraudulent offers in on a property.
The first two ever,
right?
Yeah.
The first two of all time just got caught.
Just
and
got
they're
caught.
Writing articles about them all over
of course
the place.
They are.
And they're ringing them through the fire or whatever you ring people through, the ringer, I suppose, TK.
Yeah. You know how many sellers have asked me that? Look, you know, like we don't, you know, there's only one offer. Can't you just tell them you have another offer? Why can't you just get one of your friends in real estate to write up the offer and say that it's, you know,
why don't you,
you
get one of your friends to do it?
You have competition, right? So it's like, I just tell people the same thing. Like it's, you know, if you cheat life, you know, be prepared to, you know, face the consequences. So, you know, maybe you get that buyer to pay a little bit more money because of that fake offer that you're going to bring in. And maybe you're going to close and you're going to get all your money, but one day there's going to be a reckoning and that sneaky move that you made, Mr. Seller, is going to come back to haunt you and you're going to lose sleep over it and you're going to regret making that move. So why don't we just play above board and let me do my job?
But let's talk about the mechanics of this. Okay.
Sure.
So how many people have to be in on this for it to actually work and for people to get away with it?
One
person. So is what's happening, the agent makes a fake offer and presents it as a real offer to their own client? Or is it that...
See, that's the part about multiple representation disclosure. So for example, hey, Daryl, got an offer on your property. Oh, yeah, good. Any offers? No? Okay. All right. Good. I'm sending it over in 5 minutes. Ring, ring. Hey, TK, it's Daryl calling back. Yeah, you know, I got your offer received. We actually just received another offer right after you sent yours in, even though it's been on the market for 60 days. Oh, well, you know, is it your own offer, Daryl? Yeah, it is. Okay. I think we're going to stick with our offer. That's our best and final. Let me know what your seller says. Right? So that's how that works, right? So if it's your own offer,
we're talking about here, or is it actually?
It's incredibly suspect if your own offer is coming in a multiple offer scenario, right? Think about it. If you were the buyer agent, you would be like, oh my gosh, you got somebody. I better tell my clients that they need to go, you know, up to their absolute best offer, right? So it's more about maybe another agent coming in or something like that. That would be a.
So you're fooling the other agent into thinking that you have another offer. It isn't that somebody has actually submitted a fake offer to like help boost up the price.
That's possible too, right? So again, so why did I say one person? Because it could be one guy.
Scenario.
One guy could just say, I want to sell. This is, I put some good thought into this. My neighbor's house is for sale. I'm just saying, my neighbor's house is for sale.
Okay.
I'm sitting there minding my business. Barely know my neighbor. Barely know his agent. Don't know
his
agent.
Give him a high offer so he thinks
don't know
it's
anything.
Worth
no,
more.
No,
doesn't sell
no.
for less.
You call up his agent and say, hey, any offers on the property? You know, what's going on? They say, yeah, we got an offer date on Thursday. Okay, yeah, I'll let you know. I got an agent and we'll figure out what we need to do, right? Or I'll use you as an agent. Either way. So the neighbor says, listed at $899. Me, I say, okay, I'm going to send him an offer for $500,000.
Okay.
On offer date.
Mm-hmm.
Great. You got a registered offer. Why am I doing that?
You're doing that to show other people that there's an offer that came in right away.
Right. To make sure that somebody else pays more
in a better one,
and puts some competition and sells for more money. It makes my property worth more because my neighbor sells for more.
This is all child's play. You should.
I'm the only one in on it.
You should hear the stories and commercial that like you cannot tell on the show, and no one will ever talk about on the record.
Yeah,
like shit happens all over the place. All kinds of baloney and shenanigans. Mm. So who doesn't know about it is the real question here. Like this goddamn real estate market here in Canada is littered with fraud at every level of the thing. It's insane. From planning, right? From purchasing land, the shenanigans that go on, like it's just on and on, like with assignments and sales. And it's pretty, like appraisals and mortgages and like there's a
home
lot.
Inspections.
Like home
right.
inspections.
You get your pre-listing home inspection.
I should
you
sue
get your
that
buddy
motherfucker.
To, your buddy to come in. You say, look, man, you can't go in the basement to do the home inspection, right? You can't go on the roof to go. You can't go into the attic. I got
send
stuff
you pictures.
You know, in
send
the closet.
You
but it's good. Don't worry. Just put it in the report that you're there. It's okay.
Yeah.
Right?
On this house, they said in the report that it needed like a new roof at some point in time. But when we actually decided to do the roof and the guy went up there, I got a picture of like a tarp on the section of roof that you can't see from anywhere on the on ground level, right?
Yeah.
It's like, what the hell? How long has there been a tarp on my roof? So crazy. But like, you know, I should be able to sue that inspector, right? Like,
good luck.
Well, that's the whole
even
point.
Even when you hire, just so you know, even when you hire an inspector and you and he misses something, so you hire an inspector and he screws up royally, you as the buyer, can't remember the name of this clause, but you as the buyer have signed an agreement that limits the liability that the inspector has, and it's part of their agreement, and they won't give you the report unless you sign that agreement, and part of that agreement limits their liability. So even though they have insurance and there has been challenges where you can take them to court and say, you know, well, this is not fair, they egregious, you know, neglect or whatever, this is what the contract says. So really, home inspectors, they're not getting sued.
So what's the seller point? If you can't sue them, if they're not liable and you can't rely on them,
and their reports are only like suggestions and home inspections. God love the home inspectors out there. They can be lifesavers for somebody who doesn't understand, you know, how the house works and obviously being able to identify certain things, 100%. But for the most part, most home inspections aren't worth the amount of money that you're paying. So let's say it's $500. You're not going to get $500 worth of savings or information because you had that report.
But let me be clear, TK.
What?
I'm not talking about the inspector that works for me that I'm paying. I'm talking about the inspector you're forced to rely on in certain market conditions that are offered to you as something reliable, right? Yeah. Because it's like an appraisal. Whoever's paying for the appraisal, one way or another, like, they have input, okay? Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And, like, most people like to give their boss or the person who's going to give them their next meal, you know, they like to kind of appease them as best they can, right? Yep. So, like, you know, 1.685 turns into 1.7 pretty easily if it has to, right?
No. That comp at 1.9, I went in that house. It was like totally like, oh, the pictures look good, okay, but it's actually really, really bad inside.
Right,
it's way smaller. The rooms are tiny.
So
That square footage, that's wrong. That's not the real square footage. Yeah, our houses are basically the same.
Your expert opinion, what do you think I should put on this piece of
just
paper?
Like 1.85 or something, just to be safe. Yeah, you know,
I could probably good. Make a case for that. All right.
Good.
I'll send you the invoice. Coffee? Yeah. All right. I'll talk to you later.
That's how it goes though, right?
No
that's,
kidding.
That's how it goes. Yeah.
That's how it goes when we're doing it on the show, right? But I digress for once.
Sorry,
TK.
We're doing a lot of dramatization today here.
Well, we get to have fun when it's the two of us, right? Yeah. So we have people making a big hullabaloo over these two agents, like nobody knows that this is going on. I love the reactions. I love the mortgage brokers who are like, what? Like, really? People are doing this in my company? It's not happening here. This I can assure you. It does not happen in this brokerage ever, ever. Mm. And if it does, I don't know about it at all. Okay.
Yeah.
I can't. Okay. Right. But, and then same thing with the realtors. It's like, oh, you know, people are putting in phony offers and they're all like, yeah, I told you this was a problem.
So let me explain. Let's stop right there. Okay. Let's go back to this topic here. RICO has a mechanism. Okay. In Ontario, Real Estate Council of Ontario. This happened to me once. I'll give you the whole story. If you say that there's an offer, okay, you're required to keep a form, it's called a form 801, which is a offer summary document or a copy of the complete offer for however long, I'm not sure, but probably years. It's digital. Like, you should be able to keep it forever. Sweet. Anyways, so if a buyer, because nobody cares if an agent complains about another agent, but if a buyer says, I went and made an offer on that property and there was five offers and I want to know if that agent was telling me the truth, whether or not you got the property or not is another story. But after the offer date, you can submit a request. And within so many hours, 24, 48, whatever it is, it's pretty quick, 3 days maybe, RICO will send a notice to that agent and say, provide documentation that there were offers.
Ooh,
and you must, as the listing agent, provide proof that there was offers. So we have a mechanism for this. Maybe in Quebec, it's a little bit different. It definitely is. Quebec's weird. You know that.
Sure.
Anyways, so Ontario, that's what you do. So if you're you know, suspicious of an agent doing that, that's what you can do. Now, but what if you lost? What if you won? You bought the house.
Right.
You bought the house. You know, you thought you were competing with all these people. And now you paid $100,000 over asking and because there was one other offer. And then it turns out there wasn't another offer.
Oh.
So what does that mean, right? So what happens is, you, I guess, would somehow try to prove that you've got some damages and maybe sue the agent, and there would be some, you know, some errors and omissions insurance. Like, I don't really know. But bottom line is, it happened to me once. So this guy, I had this property in May 2022. Markets crashed, clients are moving overseas, they're gone. Like, they have to move. They've already settled everything and they called us in a month too late, I guess. So I list the property. It's taking a little bit longer to sell. It's like a month now or something. So market conditions. And so finally a guy calls us directly and says, I want to make an offer. You know, everyone would kind of notice that, you know, sometimes we can always tell when a buyer, they're really trying to do things on their own. It's like they're trying to like circumvent the system. So eventually we just said, like, look, get an agent, make an offer. You don't have to use us. Bring your own agent. We don't care. So he ends up bringing an agent, goes through the transaction, calling me directly and all this kind of stuff, trying to get more information. Bottom line is we had another offer that we were just about to accept. He then beat that offer.
Right.
He got the property.
Yeah.
So the market continued to crash afterwards. He was upset. And maybe like early this year or something like that, I got a RICO thing saying, we want to see proof. Because he's probably sitting at home dreaming one day going, oh, TK Butler, you know, he told me there was another offer. And oh, I overpaid for this property. The market's going down. I read on Twitter. And so he went on RICO and decided to have them send me a notice to prove that. And I was just smiling ear to ear because I keep everything.
Yeah.
So I was just like, no problem. Boom, boom, boom. Okay. Send it off. I never heard back from them. It means I beat the case. So, you know. But that's the
process. Should have to pay you for like the accusation being false.
Something. I want lunch or something.
Something.
I want lunch. Yeah.
An explanation.
I don't feel bad telling that story because that guy was a real like tough cookie there. You know, like he was really just trying
to
like
beat
the system.
Be.
And in the end, you know, he got a great house. He's fine.
It should be transparent. I mean, how many people that have been in a bidding war have everybody who won the bidding war has wondered if there was really another offer that beat them. I guess normally the agents would line up out the door and you'd see that there was all the action.
Mm,
but now it's like,
good
I don't
point.
Even know what the fuck's really going on in this virtual.
No idea. They said four, Broker Bay said four, then it said five, and then it removed one. It was back down to four. What do I believe?
What do I know? Right? What do I know? Mm. So I guess that's not going to change. So, I mean, and the reality is like that also works the other way. Like you can. I've heard stories of people messing, you know, with lowball offers so that their offer looks better to the seller.
So an agent.
So I come in and
tells
their
buddy agent to bring me a lowball offer. So
whatever. You have a listing for $1,000,000.
Yeah,
I come in with 900.
That's even
a
worse.
A friend of mine
I think.
Comes in with 700.
Trying to deceive, right? Like, you know, another agent and buyer to help your clients get more money. Like, I can understand why the agent would do that, but trying to convince your sellers to take less money, that's like the.
No,
that's
no,
like
no,
bottom
you're
of
missing,
barrel.
You're missing the point. What? If my friend comes in at 700 and I come in at 900, my offer looks fantastic. It might be better to take mine.
But the seller,
wants a million.
The same buyer is having the two offers come in. Okay.
Yeah, same buyer.
And that's a great strategy.
That's a great strategy.
That's a fair play.
That's a fair play.
That's a fair play. Your friend offered 700. You got him to write up an offer. You would have bought it for 700. You would have given your friend the money.
For sure.
And then you paid your best price, which is 900.
Absolutely. I mean, it's so they're all
technically
justifiable
above board in like technical sense, you know, ethically, you know, if you're the agent orchestrating this, it's probably not a good idea.
But
as far as like,
they put way more thought into the stuff than you and me. I mean, there's people that are doing some serious,
they got some serious scams.
Inventive, there's
a scam going on right now where the Domino's pizza driver is in the parking lot, and then the person who's like the accomplice comes up to the person in the store and says, hey, I just ordered some pizza, but they won't take cash. Can you help me? They only have a debit machine. So then the Domino's guy is sitting there in the car. He's got a Domino's delivery car wearing Domino's uniform, and there's a pizza. And he's not taking cash. Very suspicious. So then the person comes up and says, sure, no problem. Gives him the card. He taps the card. He's like, oh, it's not working. Let me try. Kicks the machine, takes the card, switches the card. Okay. Gives them back the identical card that they've got, but it's not theirs anymore. Go ahead. And as they type in their PIN, it says paid. The person gets the card, has their card. They think they have their card. They walk away. They think that everything's fine. They just paid for the pizza. The kid or the person gave them cash. And they figure, I just did a good deed for the day. Hmm. And then they get a notification on their phone an hour later.
Your bank account is empty.
That says, were you just at TD Bank or Shoppers Drug Mart or whatever?
Oh, shit.
And they find out that they had thousands of dollars. I think 10 grand one person lost because they had a limit. I guess they didn't have a limit on their whatever. And they used that code and their debit card to withdraw all the money.
So what's
it's going on right now in
the
Toronto.
Story here? Like, don't buy pizza in the parking lot is the moral of that story, isn't it? Who the hell's
buying
pizza?
The moral of the story is that there's people thinking of ways to get your money. There's
crazy
people thinking
ways
right now on how to scam you. That's like
you
their whole life.
You know who else has come up with a fantastic way to scam everybody, TK?
Who?
Well, as people need more and more help paying their mortgages, and banks don't want people to go in default. You keep talking about it. Like, these amortizations are going crazy. I mean, if you want to talk about a scam, I mean, how prices are surging while amortizations are going on to infinity, TK. And inventory, well, actually, this is also a question I had for you. Like, I'm hearing inventory is actually increasing. I don't know.
I'm seeing a lot of listings coming on the market right now.
Is it significantly increasing? Like significant meaning?
I'm seeing the market getting more inventory for sure. Yeah.
What can we relate? Can we make this into some form of a percentage? Like, have we increased by 10% month over month? 4%? 1%
active listings. So I mean, the amount of listings that are not getting absorbed, right? That percentage, like new listings are probably up a good chunk, 20%, 30%, a good amount. New 20%. Listings are up big time for sure. I'm seeing a ton of new listings in all the markets. Regardless, though, sales are also climbing still. So there's still a bunch of people buying.
Very important. Yes.
So they're absorbing a lot of those.
But as far as
like the residual that's coming up, yeah. I mean, if I had to throw out a number there, you know, we're going to be sitting with, you know, 10 to 20% more listings at the end of the month in May that we're in right now than I think we were in April.
That's 10 to 20. I mean,
and condos are not moving great.
Well, and that's another thing, TK, is like, fuck, all of a sudden there's like a million launches for new construction projects in like the last 4 days. My inbox is inundated. And it's like, it's funny because I remember talking to some people in the know who were saying like, watch the next 6 weeks because there's going to be a lot of launches. This is going to be some telling times out there. It's one thing when you have crickets for a while and all of a sudden there's a launch in a good spot and it goes bananas and there's lineups all down the street. But now when you have multiple launches and people have choices, TK, but prices are still going up and you can get, even probably on an origination loan, you could probably get a better amortization, or I don't know if it's better, a longer amortization if you needed help with payments. I mean, they seem to be, what's the goal here now, TK? Are they trying to get more people on the train?
So I heard something new today was, not today, this week, which was payment deferrals. So I asked a client who's got some, you know, struggles happening right now in their lives. And I said, you know, what can you do? Because I said, talk to the mortgage lender to figure out what options you've got before we do anything drastic. And this particular person said that they talked to the bank, which was one of the big five banks, and they said that we will give you 3 months deferral.
They did that at the beginning of the pandemic,
and all your payments. Yeah, three months deferral
that compounds like crazy. That turns into a win for the bank for sure. So hold
they add it to the principal, whatever. But regardless, the banks are like, what can we do right now to be able to help all the people that need the help, so there isn't a flood of inventory, so the prices continue to go up, so it avoids at least some of the power sales that we're going to have to do, right?
Or at least the price point of those power of sales, right?
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, once the power sales come and there's a flood of inventory, prices will head back down. But the main thing is you've got that opportunity for people to be able to get out. So the people who are kind of level-headed, who are now like, okay, well, I just borrowed the wrong amount of money and I'm in trouble, I better sell. I have another guy too who's got the same, had another power sale as well. I got so many of those situations.
But it's crazy. There's power sales and then this guy's coming in paying $2 million cash.
I know. Like 2 or 3 years ago, one of our partners went to go see this person and I never met him. And so they changed careers or something like that. So the file was dropped on my desk. And so I was calling him and keeping him updated. And then just like 2 weeks ago, it was like, well, actually, no, I need your help. And so I brought him over to a lender and the lender said, too high of a loan to value, can't help him. The only option is to sell. And so he's looking into it. Next week, I got to call him again, but he's behind on his payments. There is no way he can pay the first and second.
Well, and that's the first thing I was thinking even on these deferrals you're talking about. It's like, okay, so if you need a deferral, right? You're in some kind of trouble, or I guess you lost your job. Like what? And now what? Like, what do you have to do in those 3 months? Like, mortgages are big and you need a lot, like a good job.
Exactly. Right, so again, everybody's got a different deferral does mean defer. So it does mean like you don't have to pay it back right away. When the deferral cliff happened before, they added on your missed interest payments to your mortgage principal, changed the amortization a little bit, and just went on with the show and gave you your due payment. So I imagine it would look something like that, right? And that deferral means deferral of interest, and it means you'll pay us later, and then we'll charge you interest as well on top of that.
And a fee.
The bank gets a little good. So I don't think that it's like, you know, hey, maybe, you know what, maybe you just need a few months to catch up. So that's one scenario. Maybe you got to, like, you know, wait for some investments to come through. Maybe you got to sell other properties. Maybe you got to sell that property. Maybe you got to get a job. I don't know. But regardless, the bank's giving tools right now for people to be able to get back on track.
So are we, so like what is happening right now? Because so we're like, people are getting washed out of the system as new people come into the system. Prices are going up. Rates at some point realistically have to go up again, right? Like, I mean, food prices aren't going to come down. Are food prices going to come down ever?
No.
Right. Okay. So gas, they fuck around with, or oil and gas, they fuck around with. Food, they're letting go.
Food companies are so regulated by major corporations. They're not going to give us a discount on those foods after they know we've been paying $6.99 for peanut butter.
Right, no fucking way.
There's not a chance.
Not a chance. You know? Not
I think produce fluctuates, because that's always been one of those fluctuating type of
Well,
products.
Yeah, because so, they find a new country to destroy.
Whatever it is.
It from,
you know, they got
right?
too many heads of broccoli. They got to move them fast.
I
right?
think so, that game is over. I think
stuff.
It's, but like,
the other things, though, they're just like, look, this is it. It's on the shelf. We put $5.99. They'll give us some sales here and there, but it's not going to be a big change.
Okay. So we're one of the most indebted nations on the planet. Mm-hmm. And we have this rip-roaring real estate market, and we have all of these natural resources that we just can't seem to benefit from. And I keep saying, like, shouldn't we be walking around with, like, robes and, like
I golden... thought about you when I saw, like, a little chic driving, like, a Lamborghini
right?
on,
right?
on
this is what people
Instagram
should think
the other
of
day.
When
I was
think
like,
of me.
How That's... come we don't have Lamborghinis? Right? What's going on?
Why don't we all walk around in Lamborghinis with our oil money buying real estate?
There's smarter
the
people who can answer that question, so maybe we should get them on the show. But
well, okay, fine. You don't want to talk about that? No problem.
It's okay. But it's true, though, right? Like, there's somebody out there who really understands the oil market. We should get somebody from Alberta.
We should. Whoa, let's last person we guy. Had from Alberta talking about oil was a little bit of a nut, no? Do you remember her?
I think we have our guest star, but the main thing is if you have somebody that you want to see on this show, okay? I assume that you're listening right now because you're here regularly. So if you're listening right now, and you got somebody, because we invite a lot of people on the show, and I'll tell you, I strike out quite often. So I know it's hard to believe, you know, such a big production like ours.
I get all the good guests.
But Daryl gets all the good guests. So if you guys have guests that you think would be great value, not only should you let us know about them in the comments, but maybe even reach out to them yourself, like whoever it is.
Yeah,
on their channel or in their social media, because we like having people on the show. And I think we're pretty good hosts too. I don't think we've ever, even the most like lunatic ideas we've ever had, like the Bitcoin mortgage guys who disappeared off the face of the earth, or any of the other ones who, you know, definitely probably could have had a little bit of
favorites
fight from us. You know, we treat everybody with respect and hope that their businesses succeed. So there's really no risk coming on our show, you know?
No, there's no risk coming on our show unless you don't like exposure to
unless you
billions of people.
Don't want to have more Jesus. People like understand your ideas.
So TK, on a serious note, so I put this tweet out that the reaction I got was amazing. I was not expecting this. So you know Vitaly, right? Mm. So Vitaly owns a place in High Park, right?
Yeah.
And this is not about his place, which is a whole other story. Okay. His neighbor built this like apartment building there that may or may not be permissible by law. But what is interesting in his neighbor's place, which is a like normal one bedrooms, two bedrooms, multiple unit rental, purpose-built rental, beautiful area. As people have been moving out, TK, what this guy's been doing is chopping up like the living room and the dining room area into more bedrooms. And he is now renting them by the bedroom, TK. Yeah. So what would a few months ago fetch $1,500-$1,800 is now $4,000 a month, TK. And living conditions, not the best on the planet. They're not like improving in this deal for anybody but the landlord. But
we need more room rentals. Like we've got a huge
this positive spin. This guy is like,
we do. We have a major issue with rooming houses. You can't get them financed.
Yeah.
You can only have them in so many areas. They just changed that recently. So now thankfully you can apply for a rooming house license. The people in rooming houses need them. Now that place there is probably half decent. They just recently passed it. So that more, because it was like in two or three areas in Toronto, you could have a rooming house.
Because who wants rooming houses beside them? Honestly, you want to have a
too bad. Hey, the NIMBYs can't stop it anymore. So now if you go get your license and you get set up, you're able to do it because we need it. This is like,
we need rooming
this
houses.
Is affordable houses. We're all talking about affordable housing. That's affordable housing. That's like the people who really need it the most. Need to be able to go and rent a room in a location like
for $1,000 for a room. That's
okay. Maybe not High Park then put them in Scarborough, whatever. But Scarborough, you weren't allowed to do them.
No, so it's now like you can cram them in a basement, bro. You've got
now
like
you,
you
have to meet fire codes
beds
and
in
you
a
have
basement.
To do all the things that you need to do in order to get the license. But at the end of the day, and then there's places too in like Cabbage Town where like there's food included because it's for people who are maybe getting there's assistance through different programs that. For people who need it, but
you know where should do this, TK?
Long story short, more rooming houses is one of the many thousand solutions that we have for a housing crisis.
We should make libraries rooming houses.
Why no one goes there anymore?
Because no one goes to them anymore. I said that before.
I go to the library like every 2 weeks.
Yeah, everybody's telling me that they go to libraries. So I don't know what the fuck is wrong with all you people going to the library.
You gotta get a book. The kids like the books. You read them. I'm not gonna buy all these books. I don't have that big of bookshelves in my house. I need
people
to
are reading
oral
books.
The books.
Why are you reading a book? You know they've got this thing called the internet now.
No, my kids are not allowed to play on the internet during the week. They gotta read the books.
Yeah, I saw that interview you had on the Tom Story show, man. I wouldn't want to grow up under your wing. Holy shit, man. My kids wouldn't make it in that house. That's for sure.
No, not at
all. My kids would be like making contracts with you to get around your rules, man.
The COVID.
You'd be
COVID
sued
time.
In a second.
You should have seen when they didn't go to school and it was, they were at home and like,
shit.
But I had like a regimen there, like everything.
Do they have to stand
workout,
at the
exercise,
edge of the
this
bed?
Hour, that hour.
Yeah. Do they have to stand at the edge of the bed with their like tie done
with
up
their boots
in the
tied
morning?
Up, tied up properly.
Tied properly.
It's pretty close. Holy. It's pretty close to my house. I know.
Wow.
Yeah. TK? They thrive.
What a great interview.
Structure.
You know what? I loved that interview with you. I loved it. I sat there. I listened to every second. I watched it from beginning to end.
I watched yours.
I like
the only
that.
Tom Story shows I've ever watched have been your interview and my. No,
really?
Like beginning to end. Like I've watched the episodes here
it's
and there.
It's a great show, though.
Go from beginning to end. I've never done it. I don't think I've done it for our show ever once. But I definitely have. I watched both of those episodes.
I enjoyed it thoroughly. I mean, I know a lot of stuff about you, but it's nice to hear it, like not just talking.
Mm.
I get to see you in a different light. Like I have many relationships with you, right? But that was interesting. I was very proud of you. It was cool. It was an accomplishment. I loved it.
Thank you.
I loved it. Yeah. You know, it's funny though. I was listening to myself. I was on another podcast and I was listening to the audio version. And at the beginning, they did like a little bio of me. Which I wrote.
It's uncomfortable,
by the way.
Right?
No, but listen, I wrote the damn thing, okay? But I mean, I'm listening to it, and I gotta admit, like, I got a little teary eyed because I was like, "Hey, I've done some shit, man. This is pretty fucking cool.
Pretty
this
cool,
list,
man.
Yeah,
yeah.
Thanks, ChatGPT. All right, just kidding. TK, What a great episode.
Last thing we want to talk about.
I could talk to you forever. Yeah.
Okay. Last
what do
thing
we got? What do we got?
The immigration stuff.
Oh, right. Sorry.
That's
the
okay.
Immigration stuff.
So, yeah. So CMHC released a report that basically just has like, it's like the spring 2023 report. So it just has like some details, like housing expectations and stuff. You can go online and look at it. I'm not going to quote it all on there, but basically what the outcome was, the most important thing that I got from the article is where they're suggesting to buy. Cause they're saying, you know, Vancouver, Toronto, Montreal, you know, there's obviously
saturated.
Big markets, saturated and high risk, volatile, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. The Maritimes, they're having a huge, you know, basically month over month decline. Maybe not huge, but it's steadily declining since the peak of 2022. So obviously there was a unnatural movement out towards the Maritimes and there's just less demand going out there now. So that's starting to shrink down. Where will that stop? Nobody knows. But they said the prairies, Alberta and Saskatchewan, this is where you go. And I had a client.
Who said that first?
Ball Prairie guy. We should get him back on the show.
No, he said, don't come here. He was like, please, like, it's nice here. Don't come here and fuck it up.
Regardless, the prairies are the most sought after area because they believe that there's growth there. They believe that there's jobs there. They believe that this is an opportunity and that they're undervalued compared to where other
100 grand for a house, bro,
or other provinces have. So the whole point of my little spiel here is programs that the government is introducing, right? So for new immigrants, so New Brunswick has that program that I sent you, where basically they're just trying to give like special certifications to people to be able to go there and to be able to work and find jobs and give them incentives basically to be able to move to New Brunswick
instead of Toronto,
right? And so the prairies in Alberta is the same thing.
Like what kind of incentives?
I don't know, Daryl. I sent you the article. How come you didn't read it? Bottom line is it's going to be giving them a job. It's going to give them a job in an area that they, you know, obviously, like, think about it. If you moved right now to Kazakhstan, and they were like, all right, we're going to send you to like the capital city, or we're going to send you to this other place you've never heard of, but you're going to make 10% more money there.
You
don't know anything about Kazakhstan. You're going to go, yeah. More money in the 10% north. Okay. I take.
We have a good time in the middle of nowhere
that nobody in Kazakhstan wants to live in because you're making more money there. So again, those are the type of incentives. The immigrants don't know any better. They're probably thinking like, geez, New Brunswick. Yeah, that sounds nice. But mostly everybody speaks
French.
Can
I see the CN Tower from
you better learn French real quick.
Saskatoon. I can still see the CN Tower, right? Yes. Go to Saskatoon.
So
live there till you have kids that are, you know, 8, and then you can leave.
Stand on each other's shoulders.
You can leave then.
And you can see the same
when your
town.
Kids won't leave.
So the key to this, because immigration, again, 1,000 ways to skin a cat here. This is just another way to solve the housing crisis is going to be for immigration, because it's all about adding to the, you know, GDP and, you know, adding to the labor force and everything else like that. Is to give incentives for people to be moving to the less populated places. So putting out a report, CMHC, putting out a report that says prairies are the best place to go, more people are moving there. And I had a client recently move to Calgary again, where they said, we're going. Our jobs were online. We didn't need to be in Toronto anymore. They're not going back. We're moving to Calgary and we bought a house for half the price.
I don't think Calgary should count as the prairies anymore. I think it should just be those
cheap.
Other two. I know it's still cheap relative, but
and
it's
wait
like,
till all those Ontario investors who bought are going bankrupt. Prices will even be better.
It's the new Montreal over there.
I don't know.
No, not that good or better or just different.
You know what? It's the new Montreal.
It's the new Montreal.
It's kind of like a secondary. It's hip, right? You know, whatever. Cool.
And they speak English, so it's like better than
English
Montreal.
Is cool. Cowboy hats and boots.
Cowboy hats and English instead of what do they wear in Quebec? What would be
like
stereotypical?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not it. Hold on. Yeah. Okay. So I think I had one more quick thing that I wanted to get to, but my notes are all screwed up here.
Interest rates. Are interest rates going to go up again because of the inflation?
Won't. Yeah. Later, but not now. Not in June. No way.
I think in June, worst case scenario is a quarter point.
The worst but it's not happening now. It's not happening now. If anything, maybe the next time, but it's not happening in June. No chance. That's what I say. No chance. I can't remember what the hell I wanted to say, but it was really interesting. This I am sure about, TK. It must have been super interesting because I thought it. All right, TK. I got nothing left. Until as soon as I press the end button, I'm going to figure it out. Oh, here's a way. This is it, TK. This is a nugget at the end of the show.
Tell me.
Not kidding. Let's get this thing going. I think I have a great idea here. Been confirmed by another developer. Ready? This will help with the housing crisis too, I think.
A thousand ways.
If you didn't see the video I posted about the just continuous gigantic wall of townhouses at Bayview and Major Mac, it sparked
Isn't that crazy?
TK, but it sparked an idea.
But they're like just like
It's just on and on.
I guess the garage is at the back.
And laneway suites above. Like, it's pretty cool. So, but now, TK, this is what I think. Whether I do it or not, somebody's going to do this for sure. It just, I think it makes sense. But why not a subdivision of fourplexes with laneway suites that, like, multi-generational home, investment opportunity, four friends come together and buy it. And I think you can condo stuff if it's under six units. Like, boom. But look, all of a sudden, and this is quick inventory because it doesn't take long to get zoning for low rise.
I know. But the inventory that's the houses, when people build laneway suites, they're tough to sell.
TK.
They're tough to sell because the cost. Is it a great idea? Yeah. If I can get the same
cost. The cost is so much lower when you build it at the same time as the entire block of houses.
Okay. I understand. I'm just letting you know that there's a bunch of people who've tried to sell their homes with laneway suites, factoring in the cost of construction. Not many of them sell.
Too much when you're doing it. Look, when you have to bring a drain from the front of the house all the way to the back of this thing, unless there's somehow drains to connect to in the laneway. In the basement. Yeah, at the back of the basement. You got to get enough fall in this new drain to get to the back of the basement. Like, I'm telling you, that plus you need mechanical, you need electrical, like just those things alone cost a lot of money. But now you're basically building a whole house from scratch behind a house rather than just extending everything as you're building like a row or rows of these things, right? So the incremental cost of the laneway suite becomes the same as the rest of the house, right? It gets blended into the whole thing, which means it must make sense because you're selling the front, you can sell the back. Even at a discount, I'm sure this makes sense because now every lot that every developer just bought as a one lot just turned times four, man, potentially. So somebody's going to go, you know what? Even if we build these and hold on to them and rent them out, this makes sense now.
I agree. At the time of construction, it makes more sense than to do it after.
That's the only part that you agreed with?
No. I'm saying I agree with everything you're saying. It's just my point was, it's hard to get people to buy them because they're more expensive. And so if you do it all at the time of construction, it'll be cheaper. And hopefully you can pass on some savings to the buyer. I don't know who would.
Maybe. So I'm doing next week, actually. I don't know if you remember, we had, you know, Ben.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Ben built a laneway house. He's an architect, built his own laneway house. And next week I'm going there and I'm like, check it out. Yeah. And I'm going to interview him and talk about, because we've been arguing like the whole time because he did it in one of these containers.
Yeah, I remember.
And I'm like, container? That just sounds like a lot more money and a lot more work. Like, I just don't understand it. And he's like, no, saves a lot of money. I'm like, no, it doesn't. He's like, I built one. Trust me. So I'm going to debunk his bunker.
Nice.
But I'm going to check it out because I've seen pictures and it's fucking cool, man.
Nice.
Yeah. Exciting times. Laneway houses. I really hate
If you're still listening to this show.
You haven't subscribed. We love you if you're still listening to this show.
Hit the like button, make a comment, check us out, reach out to Daryl through the Frankfurt Report, reach out to me if you have any questions about real estate.
Yes.
We love you guys. We'll see you next week.
Boom.